Now we're at the beginning of another new year, and last week we talked about maybe thinking about one word that might define who you are, that you could think about as we enter the new year and think about how that might inform or shape your living. Today I want us to think a little bit about New Year's resolutions and the resolutions that you might have made. And if any of you made a New Year's resolution to perhaps grow in your relationship with the Lord. I always find it interesting, and every year at this time I go on the internet and look, you know, I always look and see what the top New Year's resolutions are, and I don't know how they study these things, I guess phone interviews and so forth, but what do you think the number one was this year of New Year's resolutions that people made? To say, lose weight? What? Diet? Okay, yeah. Okay, here's the number one for this year. 71% said it was diet or eating healthier. Number two was to exercise more. And then number three was to lose weight. So the top three all had to do essentially with health in some regard or another. Okay, number four, what area do you believe it has to do with? Just a broad category. To say it loud, I'm hard of hearing. Money. It's interesting, though, because there are other surveys that are done, or perhaps these surveys just choose to not include this, because I found another one done by the Lifeway Company, which, you know, they're a publisher and they're a Christian organization. They also do research. And according to their study, they said they agreed with everything else out there, that the top was that Americans report making health-related New Year's resolutions. But what they added and said that we don't hear about in the news is that 52% of people say they've addressed their relationship with God. Now, that's just the general population. They say the number is a lot higher if you single out people that would identify themselves as Christians. So our relationship with God and wanting to hear from God, like Our Lady there, is obviously something that's important to people. How can we address it? By the way, this kind of backtracks just a hair, but what do you believe the success rate is on completing New Year's resolutions? This is according to the data. I mean, what do you think? 3%? Others? They said 8%. We don't do very good at completing our New Year's resolutions, do we? Anyway, here's a few comments from this study given by the author. We don't hear a lot about it, but a relationship with God is still something people want. And his name is Scott McConnell, Vice President of Lifeway Research. They have time at the holidays to think, and they realize what they didn't do last year. Things they value but are not living out. So they start the year with an aspiration to change. And then McConnell continues, I believe it all comes down to identity. Who am I? Or maybe here's what I'd like to be. Identity is at the heart of and the driving force behind all one does. You agree? But our busyness and our distractions and all the things that the world throws at us, all of the desires and the circumstances, all of that, it sways us. It informs us. It tries to get us to look at ourselves and the world in a certain way. And I've looked at this and just based on this study and other things and boiled it down to five common drives that people have. Five worldviews, five distractions, however you want to identify it, things that work with our identity and shape the way we look at ourselves in the world. And sort of think about these as we start this thinking about New Year's resolutions. So the number one is, and these aren't in any sense of order or anything like statistically, but the first one that I have is that some people are driven by guilt. You relate to that? Some people spend their entire lives running from guilt or shame. Things that might have happened way in the past, but it's still controlling their future. Thinking that whatever it was is bigger than God, and that there's no way God could possibly forgive me. The number two that I have here is that some people are driven by resentment. Some people just hold on to their hurts. And it might be real reasons to be angry at people and so forth. But instead of forgiving, releasing oneself, some people internalize that. Even though the other person might have long forgotten, and yet that event or whatever it was is continuing to shape and mold that person's identity, who they see themselves as. Some people are driven by fear. We've talked about this in other contexts, but fear is huge, isn't it? In our culture, in our lives. Maybe traumas of the past. Maybe it's fear of failure. Maybe it's fear of success. But fears can paralyze us, cause us to play it safe, which can be or mean doing nothing, actually. Some people are driven by materialism, the desire to get more stuff, and thinking that things will make us happy. And even if things do make us happy, it's temporary. We quickly become bored and looking for the next newer, greatest thing. Finally, some people are driven by the need for approval. This is huge, isn't it? Thinking about the approval of parents, maybe friends, could be a spouse, could be peer pressure, all of the pressures in our world to do or be something that we maybe are not. There's a lot of other forces that, and drives that we have and identities that we would like to live out that could be false, oftentimes are false, but that's enough for us to launch from. As you know, we're starting this series, Transformed 2019. And as a foundation, we're going to go to Jesus' life. And we're going to go, first of all, to his baptism. Now, the church calendar has it next week that churches will remember and talk about Jesus' baptism. But we're going to talk about it today because next week we're launching into our first part of Transformed. But it's interesting that Jesus' public ministry began after his baptism. Jesus' identity was revealed at his baptism. He was baptized for his mission. He came to conquer sin, death, and the devil. He dwelt among us. Took on our identity. So there's really no point of us to really think about Jesus' baptism without also thinking about our baptism. Jesus took on our identity, but because he did so, we live new lives. Our identity should be built off of him and his life. Luke 3, one day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. A voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." God's own Son took on our identity, accepted the mission, but his identity is where it began for us to look at. As we begin this new year and you think about New Year's resolutions, or maybe think about some of those drives or some of those forces and desires that we have or others have in our lives, think about how they shape or attempt to shape you. Then stop and think about your identity in Christ, because of baptism, because of our baptisms and who we are. That's our starting point. Children of the Lord. Someone who Jesus died for. Galatians 4, 5 and 6. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, "Abba, Father." Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. God has made you his heir. That's the beginning point. That's the foundation that we build from as we move into transformed. Romans chapter 6. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives because of what he has done and our identity in him. That's the foundation. That's the beginning point of Transform 2019. As we move forward, we're going to be using the theme verse, Romans 12, 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It begins with who we are, the people of God, because of what Jesus does. Our identity rooted in him. But then we build from there. We let God's word work in our lives and in our hearts. And that happens in this context, in the large congregation context. But it continues and it happens in small groups as well. It happens in smaller occasions too, where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name. So that's our challenge as we move forward. I challenge all of us to commit to the next 7 weeks. We're going to look at 7 different areas: spiritual health, physical health, mental health, emotional health, relational health, financial health, and vocational health. All rooted in God's Word. Now, this isn't a program for us, and I was talking to Paul Hines this week, who's helping me a great deal on this study, that when we get into this, and especially into the video portion of this, it can feel like works righteousness, especially given that it's coming out of Saddleback Southern Baptist Church. They don't call themselves Southern Baptist, but it's not about that. It's not about earning and becoming something so that we are justified somehow because of what we do before the Lord. It's not about that. But God's word clearly transforms us. Our time here as God's people clearly transforms us. So as we get specific in looking at these seven key areas, I encourage us to commit to that time, to allow God's word, allow God's people as the body of Christ, or we just heard of the different gifts we all have, where that will shape us and transform how we live our daily lives. Proverbs 6:9, we plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. It's all about Him and our identity in Him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.